The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Now, as we look at this tonight, let's consider a couple of things as we consider our finances. So in considering our finances, I'll give you some statements. 56% of all divorces are a result of financial tension in the home. 56%. How we handle money has a great impact on our life, our marriages, and also our families. It's good to make wise choices, wise decisions in our marriages and our families for their benefit. You know, when we make unwise decisions, everybody suffers. Everybody suffers. The savings rate in America was at its lowest level in 60 years, according to Consumer Digest, until 2018, when we had some major tax cuts. Major tax cut occurrences. Before the election of President Trump, there was, or since the election of President Trump, there's been a surge in the economy. But before that, there was over 1 million, I think about this, over 1 million bankruptcies a year. Over 1 million. That's an amazing number there. There's more people going bankrupt every year in America than those that are the number of graduates from colleges and universities. The average household only gives 2.5% of their income to that which is a church, or, and that, by the way, is worse than it was during the Depression. During the Depression, people gave more to churches in America. The average American church member only gives $20 a year to missions, and yet they'll spend $1,174 a year in gambling. 64% of the couples argue over money. 54% of them say that it's the number one reason for divorce. Their motto should be this: till debt do we part. It is said that those that live in Japan, Japan citizens save 21% of their income. Those that live in Europe, European citizens, if you will, save 18% of their income. Here in the United States, those that are U.S. citizens save only 1% of their income. So there's four biblical principles, I think, that we can talk about in handling money wisely in our marriages. You know, four ways to be able to keep finances, if you would please, at bay, so that we do not allow our finances to go up in flames. So let's consider them. Statement number one, consider your spouse. Consider your spouse. Two heads are better than... Talk to me now, okay? You know your Bible. Two heads are better than... Yeah, sure. And so when you discuss things before you go out and buy big things, it's always wiser to do. You know, here at our church, we have a philosophy that we get three bids on things before we make a choice. Many times we'll discuss in a staff meeting when an air conditioner goes down or something like that, which is the best way to be able to go before we even begin to go that direction. Every year, I've asked Brother Palmore to research our insurance, to research so many different things to make sure that we can, and he does an outstanding job with this, to make sure that we can get the lowest amount that we would pay with a premium coverage. And so it's just better to discuss things and consider your spouse. Before you go out and purchase something really large, then it would be good to talk it through and make sure that both of you are on the same page, because both of you are going to sacrifice with a big purchase. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, the Bible says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye, it says, even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And so be sure to discuss things out. You know, we're wired different way. God wired us differently. So we have different priorities. We have different dreams. We have different personalities. And so maybe for the household, the wife is thinking, you know, I can't wait until we get that bonus because we need to go this way. And now you're thinking as the husband, I'm glad we got the bonus because I want to go this way. And you decide to go separate ways. That is not unity. That is dividing. And so you want to make sure that you discuss things before you get out in the marketplace and buy things. You know, some of us are we're spenders, and some of us are savers. And thank the Lord if there's two like people that live in the same house. If you have a spender and you have a saver in the same house, normally it's a good balance. If you have two spenders in the house, normally the household gets in trouble. If you have two people in the household that are savers, normally you know, the house would decay and fall down around because you don't want to spend the extra penny to be able to jack up the house when it's starting to fall. And so you just want to be careful that you have the balance there. You know, some of us think that one thing is good while others think that it's wasting money. Again, you want to communicate, talk it out. And you say, well, I'm the chief in charge in my house and I handle all of the finances. Well, can I tell you, my experience has been that many times when I'm getting ready to make a large financial decision, I'll look at my wife and say, do you have any insight on that? Can you give me any thoughts about that? What do you think about this? Because many times God will use my dear wife to say, well, have you thought about it this way? And it helps in a tremendous way. So consider your spouse, statement number one. Statement number two, count the cost. Count the cost. Our Bible verse for tonight is Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. The Bible says, for which are you intending to build a tower? Sit not down first and count of the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. So count the cost. Make sure that you think it through. When we were building the house, and I've told several people about it, when we were building the house, I put in the extra thick windows. I made sure that the wall that we put up between the garage and, of course, the other part of the house was a total wall that would separate the garage completely out, and I insulated it double because cold air is going to come in over top of that garage, and I didn't even want it over top the house to be able to eat up the expense. We put 28 inches of insulation in the attic, and then I also insulated the ceiling in the attic, and there's been times when we have had an electric bill that is $59 in a 3,200 square foot home. That is not too bad. There's been other times, of course, when it's been higher than that. I'll just tell you about the lower one to impress you. But you know, count the cost. Count the cost. You know, it's very important that we count the cost. Keep your finances from going up in flames and destroying. Because finances, I'm telling you, finances can destroy a marriage. Finances can destroy a family. So you want to make sure that you talk things through and make sure that everything is the way that it should be. There was a lady by the name of Ellen, and she had $3,500 that she owed the Citizen Bank credit card at 18% interest. If she would have only paid the minimum rate that they said that she was supposed to pay, it would have took her 70 years just to pay off that $3,500. There was Tom and Sue. They needed a new washer, so they went down to Sears. They found one for $299. They got a Sears charge card. They made the minimum payment every single month. By the time they got done paying for that $299 washer, it cost them $1,199. So be careful that you know how to spend your money. Be careful that you find things. You'd be amazed if you would get on eBay or if you were to get on maybe some other type of local thing where people are selling their things. I remember that one of our children, I don't remember quite which one, but I remember they needed furniture when they got married, and so they got down on the classified ads, and they found that this lady even said it in the classified ads, going through a tragic divorce, everything must go. They went over and they got furniture. I think they walked away with, was it Josh, Jonathan? One of the J's, and so, but they walked away with $4,000 worth of furniture, and they paid $150 for $4,000 worth of furniture. You know, you'll find out that that you can find deals out there. I mean, you can actually find deals. Now, you won't believe this, but it's true. There's going to be people that buy new furniture that doesn't need new furniture, and so because they want to get rid of the old furniture that is like new furniture, they're going to sell it at a very cheap price just to get rid of it. And you say, well, somebody sat in it. I've got news for you. When you go to the store and you see that furniture there, somebody has already sat in it. Most of the beds that you're going to get delivered, somebody has already perhaps laid in it. I don't know that to be true, but just making small talk. Statement number one, consider your spouse. Statement number two, count the cost. Statement number three, commit to God what is His. Commit to God what is His. I learned years ago about the tithe. I learned years ago about offerings, and I'm so glad I did. I would never today be able to own the things that we own as a family had we not tithed and had we not give offerings. God has blessed us abundantly. I mean, beyond compare. But it's because when we do right by God, can I testify about our Heavenly Father? Our Heavenly Father is going to do right by us. Job chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and said, naked came I into my mother's womb. The Bible says, out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, you're not going to have what you think you're going to have when you die. And most people, when they die, they're not saying, okay, can I take this with me? They're not saying that at all. You know, you can enjoy the splendors that God gives you during this present day, but you can't take it to the grave with you. So enjoy it, but don't get yourself in debt that you've got to leave your children with a massive amount of debt when you die. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, the Bible says, all the tithe of the land, it says, and all the tithe of the land, whether it be of the seed of the land, it says, or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So God says that it all belongs to Him. And so just be careful to understand that. When you go outside, you're breathing someone else's air. It's not your air, it's God's air. When you're walking outside, you're stepping on somebody else's land. It's not your land, it's God's land. The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's in Revelation and the fullness thereof. Everything inside the earth belongs to the Lord. You say, well, I own it. Yeah, you own it temporarily, but after you're dead, somebody else is going to own it. So think on that one for a while. I mean, all of it belongs to God. Now, and I'm telling you, if you do right by God, God always does right by His children. Malachi, you know it well. I'll read it for emphasis sake. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, will a man rob God? It has robbed me. But you say, wherein has he robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, God is saying. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I didn't understand that to begin with as a young man, but then I do understand now, because when a person doesn't tithe, how do they rob the nation? They rob the nation of the gospel. The gospel is not getting out when they don't do their part, so they're robbing their whole nation. Can I tell you, unsaved people act like unsaved people, and saved people are supposed to act like saved people, but they do have a Holy Spirit to help them and to guide them. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So God says, okay, bring, doesn't say sin, and I thank God for those that live in different places that send money into our church to help out with various things, but if they ever could bring it, they'd get more of a blessing. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 11, the Bible says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, And he shall not destroy the fruits of your land, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So here's what God says. He says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer, but he only says that. Did you notice that? He only says that to people that tithe and give offering. So when a person doesn't tithe and doesn't give an offering, he doesn't rebuke the devourer. So what happens? The devourer comes and he destroys the fruit of your land. I know people that's done this. They work and they get fruit, but they have nothing to show for it. Do you know people like that? They work and work and work and work and work and work, and they say, I'm making good money. What do you have? Well, I'm in debt for this and this and this and this and this and this. They have nothing to show for it. You know why? Because God has released the devourer to destroy the fruits of their labor, the fruits of their land. And so they'll live all the days of their life and have nothing to show for it by the time they die. They don't leave their kids anything. They don't leave their grandkids anything. Why? Because they have decided, God, I'm right, and I can handle my funds better than you can handle my funds. And a person that thinks that is certainly foolish in the heart, because God is the one that does give the blessing. You know, a recent survey, if you would please, that was done, a census, if you will, that was done, says that 3 million American families with an income, there's 3 million American families with an income of $68,700 or above. Now, there's 3 million families. And by the way, that tier puts them in the fifth wealthiest in the nation. If a person is making above $68,000 a year, they're in that tier where they're in the fifth level or fifth wealthiest families in America. But they have trouble, many of them, paying their mortgage, paying for food, paying for utilities. To be able to do that at least one time a year, they're struggling. Now, why? Because they're not handling money well. You know, and it would be good for us to be able to learn that money is a tool. Money is not your master. Money is a tool. And you can use a tool to supply other tools. You know, years ago I learned how to take money and use money to be able to make money. Well, I'd rather use money to make money than to use money to lose money. By the way, you don't go to the casino to make money. I was amazed. I preached in Oklahoma, in Cushing, Oklahoma. Brother Yao was kind enough, as I said earlier, to drive me, and we drove together over there, and John Bell went to sing, did a great job. But when I was in Cushing, Oklahoma last night preaching a one-night revival, I was amazed that as I was traveling through Oklahoma, how many casinos there were. I mean, there's casinos, I mean, just everywhere. That was just absolutely shocking to me. And I kept telling Brother Yao, no, you cannot go in it. No, you cannot go in it. But now, may I say this, that in traveling through, I was also amazed at this, and I'm sure he was too, as we did not go in them, but we traveled by them, all the cars that were there. I mean, the parking lots were absolutely filled to capacity. And I'm thinking, wow, okay, so that's a stupid person, and that's a stupid person, and that's an unwise person, and that's a person that's thinking they're not using their money wisely. All right? Now, can I say that's why people that have made it to that fifth tier, many of them are struggling. You know, the best thing that you could ever do is to tithe and give offerings. I'll tell you how we tithe, and we even do it on the things that people give us. If somebody gives me a tithe, we figure out how much the tithe is, and then we pay the tithe off the tithe. Let's say somebody gives me a tithe for six, it's a $60 tithe, then I'll pay a $6 tithe off of it. I'd much rather God continue to give me $6 tithes than me have to go buy a $60 tithe. That's the way I look at it, you know, and God has just blessed us. I believe this. I believe God looks down from heaven and he says, wow, there's somebody that really trusts me. There's somebody that I'm gonna fill their barns. And God does do that. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, and I hang my hat on this verse often, and I remind the Lord of this verse. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wine." All right? And what's he saying? He's saying that when you give, if you'll read verse 9, you'll see that he's talking about giving a tithe off the first fruits. God gives you something, and you tithe off that. I just believe this because I've seen God do it in my life over and over and over again. You know, I'll buy something and I'll tell somebody I paid $3 for it, and they'll turn to me and say, "Well, you paid what?" I said, "I paid $3 for it." "You're kidding me. I just paid $109 for that, and you got it for $3. How did you do that?" I'll just say, "Well, it's the Lord showed me how I could get it for $3 and no, we did not steal it. But God is the one that does stuff like that. You say, "Well, you really believe that?" Well, let me remind you, it was the Israelites that walked on the backside of the desert, if you would please, for 40 years, and their shoes didn't wear out. We drove our old SUV, and people were amazed, but we drove it, never had to replace an engine, never had to replace a transmission, nothing major ever went wrong with it, and we drove it, put 410,000 miles on it, and then I sold it for $2,000 because I showed the guy it was a good engine. And can I tell you, God will take the things that you have, he'll make them last longer. He'll make them last longer when we put him first in our individual financial world. And so then we see, consider, I said, your spouse. Count the cost. Commit to God what's his. Then this, if you would, cherish what you have. Cherish what you have. Thank God that you have what you have. Thank God that you have what you have. You know, I was talking to when I drove over to Oklahoma, and of course they spoke well of the Polywathicals and spoke well of Brother Denton as he was there. I think you were traveling through some place, and I think you stayed there at Bob and Debbie's, and we went to their cabin, and me and the men that was traveling with me, they fixed us some soup and or whatever they called it, and we sat there and we ate. We just had a good time, and Bob said, "Well, I tell you what," he said, "I got this one jacket." He said, and "I've had this jacket for 30 years. And he said, "It's my favorite jacket." And he said, "I don't want to replace," and I don't know how we got on jackets, but he said, "I don't want to replace my jacket," you know. And so can I tell you, God will make things last longer. He would just make things last longer. That is the way God works. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." Now, wait a minute. It says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." We're in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. The Bible says, "The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request," that's plural, "let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." By the way, I share that verse with many people that are struggling to be able to understand the peace of God. They have things going on in their life, and things get them emotionally maybe a little upset or perturbed. And I said, "Boy, you know, here's what the Bible says about peace. You know, that there is a peace of God, and that peace of God will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ. And so we want to keep our minds stayed on Him." Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at last," it says, "your care for me have flourished again." Wherein it says, "You were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." In other words, they were looking for ways to be able to meet his needs, but his needs were met. And so they lacked opportunity to be able to give to that. And so, but now he had a need again, and now he was able to be blessed by them again. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Wouldn't that be good as we go out shopping tomorrow, Friday, as a person would go out shopping or something, just to be content. And every parent says, boy, I hope my child gets that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. It says, everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, most of you know this one by heart. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So what is Paul doing? He's testifying. You know, I know how good God has been to me, and I know that God has taken care of this, and I know what it is to be hungry, and I know what it is to be full, but he never states in his testimony that he knows what it is to go without, because he did not go without. God always was his supply. Matthew Henry was a pastor in the 1700s, and he was robbed one day, and he wrote in his diary after he was robbed. He said, let me be thankful. He said, first, because I was never robbed before. Now, he wrote this in his diary after he was robbed in the 1700s. That great commentary writer, Matthew Henry, he said, I'm thankful. And he wrote down why. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although he took my wallet, he did not take my life. Amen. He's being thankful. Third, because although they took my all, it wasn't much. So they robbed me, they took my wallet, they didn't take my life. They robbed me, they took all that I had, but after all, that wasn't much. Fourthly, he said this, because it was I who was robbed, and in other words, I didn't do the robbing. He said, I'm thankful that I was robbed, but it wasn't me that did the robbing. I didn't rob somebody. I wasn't the one who robbed. All right? Now, can I say he was thankful? He found himself thankful in this. Somebody said every dollar bill is a money seed. It's only like a tiny acorn that contains the power to be able to grow into a mighty oak. Each dollar bill has the power to grow into a mighty tree. You can grow one of these trees, and this is as somebody that is a financial instructor, he says you can grow one of these trees in your lifetime. And if you were to read, of course, the lecture that I read on this, he said if you take just a dollar and you put aside a dollar every day, and you do that for 35 years, it would turn into over $1 million just by doing it every single day for 35 years. You know, but the problem is most people won't do that. We have to decide that we're going to be the individuals that manage our money instead. Oh, I teach young couples often. If you're a wise young couple, I say, get yourself an emergency fund. An emergency fund. That way, when a tire goes flat, when a tire blows out, when an engine quits working, when a transmission needs to be replaced, get yourself an emergency fund. That way you don't have to run to a bank and take out a loan, and you don't have to run to a credit card and swipe the card when you know good and well. My wife and I, we've had, a Discover credit card for over 20 years, right? Over 20 years, Discover. And so we have a Discover credit card. We've never one time ever in our life been late on a payment. Not only that, we never spend money on that credit card that we already don't have in the bank. If we don't, we use it as like a check. If we don't have it in the bank, we don't spend it. And because of that, at the end of every year, because they pay back that 5%, then we'll have anywhere between $700 and maybe $1,000 that we've earned because we pay it on time and we pay it off and things of that nature. And we'll use that to help out with Christmas or whatever the case may be. All right. But can I tell you, we've been wise with our funds. Most people, I would tell them very, very quickly that if ever you get a credit card and one time you overspend it, then that shows me that you don't have the character to have a credit card. If you overspend it just one time, I don't care if you overspend it with a nickel, but if you overspend it one time, that shows me you don't have the character to control that card, and there's a great danger that card is going to control you. And then before you know it, you're paying 17, 18, 27% interest. The highest person that ever came to me in our church, the highest person ever came to me with credit, excessive credit card debt, was in debt, in credit card debt, $72,000. $72,000, and one of that was 28% interest, another one 27% interest, and multiple credit cards. Now, by the way, today they're out of debt, and it took a while to get out of debt, but they're out of debt, they got rid of the credit card, which I would suggest that. Okay? So I'm saying this, don't get yourself in trouble. Don't get yourself in trouble, because you might not have as good of a job as this individual had, where you could be able to dig yourself out quickly, because the finances might not be there like this individual had. Now, can I tell you, it is very, very important for us. Be careful when you go out. Oh, but it's on sale. Oh, my dear friend, there's sales every day of the week somewhere. There's sales every day of the week. You know, my dear wife and I, for Christmas, I think we're already done with all that, you know, and buying for the kids and the grandkids and stuff like that. You say, why do you do that? Because we don't wait till the last minute to buy it. We look for stuff year-round. And then we'll just buy it, and we put it in the closet, and then we forget that we bought it, and we bring it all out and say, wow, we got that person a lot, you know. And so, but it's stuff that we find, and we get great deals on it, and we talk people down, or we'll trade. It's called bartering. We'll trade, or we'll barter with someone to be able to get really, really good deals on some high-class stuff. And by the way, you can do stuff like that without getting yourself into financial problems. You can be able to be a blessing to people without straining, without straining. You ever have a Christmas? Now, I know that you probably never do, but do you ever have a Christmas where you're one of those people that I would see running around Christmas Eve trying to buy something for a child or a wife, and you're running up and down the stores, and the sweat is coming off of your face? You know, I mean, and you got this strange feeling coming up the back of your neck because you can't find it, you know, and the store is getting ready to close, and they say closing in 5 minutes, and you go into a panic because it's like, you can't close in 5 minutes. I got three more items to buy, and I don't know what I'm doing. You know, don't get yourself in a fix like that. Don't get yourself in a fix like that. When you get yourself in a fix like that, if you ever do, which I know you never will, but if it ever just so happens to happen to you, then learn from it, and then don't go back there again. If you ever have a credit card, which I don't suggest, I really don't, I would dare say that the average person, as you have heard, statistically speaking, the average person that has credit cards in America, the credit cards are controlling them. They are not. I'm with friends all the time, and they say, don't worry, I got plastic. And it cringes me when I hear somebody say that. Don't worry, I got plastic. I'm thinking, yeah, but do you have real money? Do you have real money? I'm talking about, you know, can you rub two pennies together? You know, because you cannot live that way and survive. It will eat your lunch eventually. Father, bless, I do pray. Thank you for these dear.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.